Well, I appreciate you all coming back.
I desire your prayers tonight. I feel special need of the Lord's help tonight. I was encouraged with the verse that says that when I am weak, then am I strong. I thought about that verse also in Isaiah. I looked that verse up in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And it said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. And He said to bind up the brokenhearted. And to set at liberty those that are captive, and the openings of prisons to them that are bound. You brokenhearted? Is anybody here brokenhearted tonight? Anybody here feel captive to something? How about in bondage? Feel bound? I'm thankful that we serve a God tonight that is in the business of loosing us from our bonds, our prisons, our captivity, and He wants to.
Thank the Lord.
He has a vested interest tonight. In you. Isn't that something? That song said, Savior, Thou art more than life to me and to you. It's personal. And I just am thrilled that the Lord is willing to know me and to call my name and be willing to walk through life with me. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. I want to stay right close by His side.
Amen.
All the way through. Yes. Yes. Until I hear those words, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Can you imagine, can you think of anything besides that that you'd rather hear?
No.
I can't. What would a man give in exchange for a soul? What would a man profit if he gains the whole world? But then lose your soul. Regardless of all that you could gain, if you get to the end and the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, what a travesty.
Yes.
Because it didn't have to be that way.
That's right.
I'm thankful tonight that the Lord loves me and He calls me repeatedly.
Yes.
And He's merciful to me.
Yes.
And He wants me to make it to heaven. He paid a price on the cross. He's not out trying to hold the sword up, cut off the first time He can cut us off and say, you're out. He paid too high a price for that. He comes by and He calls us. And He beckons us and He has mercy on us. And He is tonight. I have a message tonight that it's special to me. And I hope it's special to you too. It's an encouragement to me and I want you to be encouraged this evening. Two, and it's found in the 5th chapter of John. And we'll read the first 9 verses. It says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, wither, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. So this is quite a story. We have a picture, an illustration, an account of this occurrence that took place. And it said that there was a great multitude of people. There was a great multitude of people that waited and hoped for three things to happen. So, if you can just kind of put yourself there and visualize yourself, for there's this great multitude of people, and there's a pool, and they're waiting for three things. The first thing is, they're waiting for the angel to come and trouble the waters. That's the first thing that had to happen. They couldn't just get into the pool and be healed. They had to wait until the angel came and troubled the waters. Now, if that happened, then the second thing had, they looked for the second thing. They had to get in the water before anybody else. And remember, there's a great multitude. So there's a great multitude. And so you have a great multitude and everybody's waiting for the angel to come and trouble the waters. And when they see the waters troubled, then they have to be the first one in. And then they look to be healed. Has to come in that order. That's the order that had to come in for them. Because you see, the multitude of people that were gathered, they all had something in common. That's the reason why they were gathered. The great multitude of people didn't just hang out by the pool because there wasn't anything better to do. The great multitude of people stayed by the pool because they had a need. They were maimed. They were halt. They were withered. They didn't all have the same need. Didn't say they all had, you know, the incurable disease that was the same. But they all had a need. They all lacked being whole in some way or another. And what they desired was that they could make it to the water when it was troubled and become whole. Now, I've thought about these people, and I think, this is me, but I think that there were people there that had differing degrees of hope in what they were there for. Because there were some that were there, we know of one, that had been there a long time. And maybe they at first came and they heard, hey, you've got a problem. Have you heard about the pool over there? You go there, you'd be the first one to be healed. Really? Yeah. And so they went over to it, and maybe it took them a while to get there because maybe they really had a pretty serious problem. Because you know what? The multitudes today have some serious problems.
Yeah. That's right.
That are real. That affect us. And when they got there, maybe with an alive hope, and then waited. And then when the angel troubled the waters, their hope, yes, there it is, only to realize that somebody was already in the water. Didn't make it. Wasn't fast enough. I didn't have what it took to get into the water to meet the need that I had. Well, okay, there's tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. So, well, I'll wait for another day. I'll wait for the next season. The next season comes. But again, they're not able to get into the water. And so then with diminished hope, I think, I mean, they were human just like I am.
Yeah.
And after weeks and months and years pass,
yeah,
and there's a place in your life that's not whole, and you hurt, you're there, but your hope starts to go down. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah.
how it works with me. I suspect it works like that with you too. Has at some point in your life, it always seems like there's a reason. It always seems like there's a reason why everything doesn't line up to get you where you'd like to be. And just when you think you're almost there, Brother Tony Salmon said one time, just when you get to the top of the hill, just when you think you're about there, you see another hill in the distance. Yeah. And it's hard to finally top that last hill and be there, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the people came because there was great multitudes. And I wonder if any of them ever felt like staying home. You ever feel like staying home? That's a thought. You ever feel like not going to church? You ever feel like, well, I go to church with expectation, but then everything is good and it's right and it's truth and the waters are moved and the Spirit of the Lord does come down but it just seems like it's always somebody else. It's always other people that seem like get what they need. I mean, I get what I need when I come to church, but there's that part of me. There's that thing that just holds on. And I never can seem to be whole in that thing. I don't know, maybe I should just stay home today. You ever felt that way? You don't have to answer that out loud, but sometimes you might just not feel like going to church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Yes, that's true.
You wholly follow the Lord. The Lord's taken note.
That's right.
And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and a book of remembrance was written for them that thought on Him and feared His name. And He said, when I make up my jewels, that's who I'm going to make up my jewels with. Don't forsake doing what's right, whether you feel like it or not. Come to service. Put yourself in the place where the angel comes and troubles the waters.
Amen.
Even when you don't feel like it sometime.
Amen.
Come to service. Maybe that was their home. Maybe some of them didn't even go home at night. Thought about that. Maybe they just hung out there all the time. Didn't have anywhere else to go. They were maimed. It was harder to get back and forth than it was just to stay out there in the elements. But with a diminished hope. Sometimes you can just count on people. I mean, they're in service. They're there. They're at camp meeting. They're at revival. They're in their place. They are on the spot all the time. And yet I think that there's people sometimes that are always there, and yet they don't. They've lost the hope somehow that the need that they have will be met, because it always seems like maybe things don't just quite line up. And you stick in there, and I suspect that for many of us, sometimes we go a long time too, without being made whole like we would like to be made whole. And we never feel like we have a good answer from the Lord as to why. Sometimes the Lord has a reason why we're not whole in an area. You know that? But sometimes we don't allow the Lord, we don't give Him a chance to bring us a peace about it. Because we have a hard time committing it. We have a hard time having faith with it. We have a hard... For whatever reason, we keep coming. But maybe year after year after year passes, and we still have a need. And I want to say what I said Sunday morning. I believe the Lord has still much land.
Amen.
For us to possess. Regardless of how old you are. Regardless of how long you've come to service and felt like, I have gained a lot of ground. I've conquered in a lot of places. Oh yeah, there's that one spot. But I'm still encouraged in the Lord because He's done so much for me. But in the back of your mind, you're going, Boy, abundant life would really, I mean, there is still that one spot. I believe the Lord's saying, still have much land for you to possess.
Yes, amen.
This man here, in the verse 5, said he had an infirmity for 38 years. You know how many days that is? It's a lot of days. That's almost 14,000 days. I wrote it down here. It's 13,870 days. It's a lot of days. This man had this infirmity for almost 14,000 days. And I wonder how many days he spent watching the pool. Wondering, is today my day? And then the day came.
Thank the Lord.
When Jesus came. And he was there in his place when Jesus came by. And I wonder if that day was any different than any other day relative to how the birds were singing outside. I wonder if it sounded, I wonder if he felt anything different in the morning or when he got there. I wonder if it sounded like the children were playing differently in the background or if he felt this is the day. It's been 13,870 days, but I think this is the day. Well, I don't know, but somehow I don't think so. But I do know this, that day the Master came by. And the Master came by and he knew who he was, and he knew what his name was, and he knew how long he had been there, and he knew what his need was, and he was moved with compassion. Thank the Lord. He was moved. There was a great multitude of people, but he focused in on this man on that day, and he had compassion on him. And he asked him a question. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you know what? When the Lord comes by and speaks to you like that, it's like nothing you've ever experienced in your life. You know those times I'm talking about when the Lord comes by and pays you a special visit? You live for the Lord very long, and there are times where you feel the Spirit and you feel the blessings of the Lord, and it makes us rich. But then there's those times where the Lord comes by and He calls your name. And He speaks to you and He's looking straight at you. And I'm not saying that we can't have a personal relationship and He walks with us every day. But I'm talking about when your cup overflows.
Yes.
I'm talking about when the Lord calls your name and you take note. And He's, and you don't go away the same. There's nothing like it. And I wonder if when the Lord spoke to this man and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I just can't help but wonder if he felt kind of some of that same burning down in his soul that those two men did that were walking on the road to Emmaus that day.
Yes.
I love that story.
Yes.
I'm not careful, I'll get off on a message on that. That's a beautiful story.
Yes.
And I wanted to remind you of what they felt like. When Jesus walked with them, and then they constrained Him to stay with them to eat, because there was something going on that was different. And then He blessed the food. And He vanished. And they went away and they said, "Hey, did you notice the same thing that I was noticing when we were walking down the road? Was it just me or did you notice the same thing? Did your heart burn within you when He began to open up the truth to us?" "Yeah. Yeah, I did. My heart burned within me." Why? It's because the Master paid him a visit. I think about the blind man. Do you remember the story of the blind man that Jesus led out of town? I didn't look that story up before I came around, but there's an account where a blind man, he wanted to see, and it said that Jesus led him out of the town, and I've wondered before what they talked about on their way out. I wonder what that discussion was like, and I wonder what the man was feeling down in his heart and his soul as Jesus took him by the hand, knew his name, knew his problems, had the ability, the capacity, the power, and the will to take care of his eyesight, and walked with the Master down the road while the multitudes were all around. So many other things it seemed that the Lord could have been doing, but he chose that man. You know what the good news is tonight? The Lord is choosing you.
That's right.
He's calling your name. And He wants to walk with us. And He has a question for us. Wilt thou be whole? And this man, I don't know what all he was feeling, but it seemed like that he began to spill out his heart to the Lord. Lord, the thing is that it doesn't seem like I can ever get down into the pool when it moves. I can't do it on my own. Lord, I've tried. I've tried to get down there, but I can't. I can't do it on my own. Because I'm maimed, I'm halt, I'm withered, I've tried. I've tried everything I know to do. Can you relate with that? You know, willpower only goes so far. It really does. It only can take you so far. And a lot of times willpower doesn't do anything for the heart, soul, peace. You know, can keep you out of some trouble sometimes. But the Lord came to do more than just keep us out of trouble.
Thank the Lord
came to bring us abundant life.
Amen.
And sometimes we just feel like, Lord, I have tried and I can't. And that's what this man was telling the Lord. He was saying, Lord, I've tried and I can't. And I don't have anybody that I can turn to that can do it for me.
Yes, that's right.
You know, sometimes we run out of options and we think, wait a minute, I know somebody and it seems like they've got everything. They've got this piece of their life figured out. I'm gonna go get some help from them. And you go, but then when all is said and done, you find that nobody can fill the need of your heart. You been there? It's real. We have those places that we encounter in life that's like that. And I think that's all that Jesus needed to hear. Lord, I can't do it on my own.
Right.
Nobody can do it for me.
Right.
And so Jesus, the Master of life, spoke words that changed this man's life. He said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. That was in the eighth verse. Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. What if the man wouldn't have done it? What if the man would have said, well, how kind of you to pass by my way and offer me to rise up, take up my bed and walk. But you know, Lord, I have been in this spot for so many years. I've been here for 38 years and I've tried to do that before and it doesn't work. And I've kind of got used to where I am. I don't like it, But it's just me. The enemy ever told you that? Rod, it's just you. You know, that's just who you are. Leave that in the hands of the Lord. He knows how to judge you, take care of you. That's just who you are. The Lord's in the business of changing us. He's in the business of changing who you are. He's in the business of taking and filling holes. He's in the business of putting in a new heart, changing out a valve here, putting in a new vessel there, giving you a new kidney over here, help clean out some things over here. You say, oh, this, Lord, this is just who I am. Well, what if He would have said that? I don't want when the Lord passes by my way. And when the Lord troubles the waters of my soul. And He comes by and He says, would you like to be made whole? And I say, Lord, I can't do this on my own.
Yes.
I've tried. He said, I know. I've been waiting a long time for you to get to the place where you realized you couldn't do it on your own. Been waiting a long time for you to finally just get it out and acknowledge that you just don't have what it takes. But you know what? I designed you like that. Because I wanted you to get to the place where you realize your need of me. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. The way of man is not in himself, it said first. And I believe that the Lord, He just wants us to get to the place sometimes where we say, Lord, I need help.
That's right.
He just wants us to get to the place sometimes where we say, I can't do it.
Yes.
And sometimes we say, Lord, I've prayed about this. Lord, I've been praying about this for a long time. And it just seems like no matter what I do, it doesn't work. And I wonder tonight if there are those here. Because I've been there, and I will self-disclose with you, there's still places in my life that I believe the Lord wants to do something for me. And make me whole in some places where I feel incomplete. Oh, that's just how it is.
True.
And I wonder if sometimes though that we feel like there's a history about ourselves where we've tried repeatedly maybe and we never did quite get there and we're ready to give up because we feel like we just can't get everything to line up. We've seen the waters troubled. We've felt the Spirit of the Lord come down. But I still battle that anxiety over this particular thing. Just can't hardly have peace over this one thing in my life. It just pulls me down. Or I just suffer with depression over here. Or I just seems like I just have discouragement. I have discouraging thoughts on this thing and I wish I didn't. And I know the Lord has strength, but for whatever reason, I just can't figure out how to make everything line up. I'm addicted to these things. And I don't like it when Paul said that these things I would do, I found that I couldn't do. And the things that I couldn't do, I found myself doing. Before you have the Lord come in, that's what life is like. Lord, there's just this thing in my life that well, I don't feel like, I know I don't feel like I should towards so-and-so. But there's this problem at church that I just wish it wasn't like that. And it's causing me to lose the victory, Lord, that I think you have. But it's, the fact of the matter is, it's just there. I feel like the Lord, I don't feel like it, I know it. The Lord passes by. He passes by us at the right times. And He says, would you like to be made whole? Will you be made whole? And I think about the verses in Isaiah where Isaiah, the scripture said, if you be willing and obedient.
Yes.
You shall.
That's right.
Not might. If you're willing and obedient for 38 years and you're maimed and you're whole, you might get to eat the good of the land. That's not what it said. It said if you're willing and you're obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And sometimes the Lord just wants to teach us how to be willing.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't know how to be willing. We just want it. Sometimes the Lord has to teach us how to be obedient. This man had to be willing to get up. He had to be willing to rise. Wasn't it Naaman that had to dip in the Jordan?
Yes.
In that clean, crystal, pure water that you could drink of. Elisha. Wasn't it Elisha said, go dip in that clean water over there. That'll purify you. Was that it?
No.
No, it was muddy. And who was Naaman? Was he just somebody's little servant out there? He was an aristocrat. He had a position to protect. I'm Naaman. You're asking me to go down there? You're asking me to get up in front of all these people and bow myself down and make myself vulnerable? Right? And take a risk? No. What is he thinking? They say, wait a minute. It's not hard. Just be obedient.
Yes.
Just bow down. Just dip yourself into those places sometimes. Yes, sometimes it requires some humility. I think sometimes we think we're humble when maybe we're not as humble as we think. I think that's a difficult thing in life. To really get a hold of. And I think sometimes the Lord has a pretty good job on His hands to get us to the place where we're willing and we say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll bow. I'll acknowledge that I need help. Sometimes we wonder why we can't ever get the victory, and sometimes it's because we want to acknowledge it on our terms. We want it to be handled on our terms. Naaman wanted his problem to be handled on his terms. But that's not how the word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord came to him in a little bit different way. And I believe tonight that if we're willing, and if we're obedient, and if the Lord passes by and He says, hey, would you like to be made whole? Yes, Lord. I can't do it myself. Got that figured out. What did He say? Rise and take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and he took up his bed and he walked.
Praise the Lord.
Do you remember, have you ever heard that poem about the old violin? Ever heard that? Is that all right if I go over that? That was the story about the old violin, and it said 'twas battered and scarred. And the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his time to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile and he said, what am I bidding, good folks? $1? $2? Who'll give me $3? $3 once, $3 twice, it's going, but no. It said that from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and he picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody, pure and sweet, sweet as caroling angels sing. And the music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what am I bidding for the old violin? $1,000? $2,000? Who will make it $3,000? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice. It's going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried. We don't quite understand what changed its worth. Swift came the reply, the touch of the Master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. Mess of pottage, glass of wine, a game. And he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and he's almost gone. But the Master comes. And the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. And I wonder tonight if the Lord is passing by and He's troubling the waters of your soul in a good way. And maybe He's whispering to you, would you like to be made whole? When the Lord passes by and He invites us to be made whole, take advantage of it. Get up.
Yes.
Take up your bed. Go in faith. The Lord loves you. He has land for you to possess that you've never possessed before. He has a peace that passeth all understanding. Tonight, let's be faithful to the voice of the Lord as it passes by our way. Amen.